High hopes and low expectations. Those were words of a friend a number of years ago that I have never forgotten. I've forgotten what the circumstances were that caused him to say those things, but I remember those words very distinctly, high hopes and low expectations. And I suspect that that counsel may well have gone over with Manoah and his wife. As we ended chapter 13, we saw that they had high hopes and indeed perhaps even high expectations of this child Samson who was to be born. God had promised Manoah's wife in her barrenness a child. And not just any child, but a child who is going to be from the womb consecrated, set apart, dedicated to the Lord and to His purposes. He was to have the Nazarite vow, the vow in which he was to take no wine and touch no dead carcass. And his hair was not to be cut. And it wasn't just for a period of time, but for all of his life. He was to be consecrated to the Lord and used for the Lord's purposes. But as we come to chapter 14, it appears that this Samson, who we've known very little about as far as his childhood, this Samson now comes to his parents with a demand. It almost appears that he's a spoiled child as he comes to his mother and father, demanding that they go and bring back this Philistine wife for him. Oh, their expectations had to be dashed. Oh, the great concern. Here was their son Samson consecrated to the Lord. Why would he choose a woman from the pagan Philistines instead of right there from their own family? And they even ask him that at the beginning of chapter 14. He saw one of the daughters of the Philistines, we're told, and he demands that they get her for him. But his father, verse 3 says, and mother say, is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all the people that you must go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Their expectations, their hopes, their desires, their thoughts of Samson dedicated for the purposes of the Lord. But they were quickly dashed. And yet we see in the events that unfold, we see not only the secrecy and the failure of Samson, but we see the mystery and the secrecy of God. Samson, walking in his own way according to his own desires, seeking to fulfill the desires of his flesh, but there was, behind all of his failings, the power and the purposes of a God who does all things well. So I want to look at that this morning. If you read with a discerning eye, you will see that there are a few things that Samson tells, and there are many more that he doesn't. And the things that he speaks about with pride, and the things that he's silent about and leaves untold are probably because he knows that they need to be hidden because of his own sin. In the events that unfold for us, we see a shadow of what is to come, a precursor of what's going to happen with Samson. And it should remind us this morning that though we often fail, God's purposes never fail. The first thing that we see is that the Lord has a secret. The Lord has a mystery. it's not revealed other than to us. It's not told to Manoah and his wife. It appears that it's not told to Samson either. Samson goes down to Timnah. He finds there a girl who is right in his own eyes. That statement is repeated. It's there in verse 3, but it's also repeated again in verse 7. And you'll remember at the end of the book of Judges, that same statement is repeated. Remember, in the 21st chapter of the book of Judges, we read of the horrible circumstances that were going on. And there we read that everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes. Here's Samson doing what's right in his own eyes. He wants this pagan Philistine for his wife. And despite Manoah and his wife's trying to persuade him otherwise, he is insistent that this is the one that he wants. But there's one piece of information that is not told to Manoah and his wife. And that is found for us. It is found for us in verse 4. His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord. One piece of information kept from them and kept presumably from Samson. All they could see was that Samson was engaging with one who perhaps was greatly going to bring a decline to him and to the nation of Israel. Samson has one thing in mind. It's not the nation of Israel. It's not his deliverance that he would bring. It is that he would fulfill the desires of his mind. And how important to keep in mind that God was ruling and overruling even the desires of Samson. The Lord had a purpose in Samson's taking a wife from the Philistines. You know, friends, there are many disappointments in life. Some of them run very deep. But we can take great comfort, can we not, in knowing that the Lord is working out His purposes. He is working out His sovereign will. We may see it one day, but certainly we can take comfort in this reality that whatever God ordains is right. We see that theme throughout Scripture, don't we? When Joseph was sold down into Egypt in slavery by his brothers and later was reunited with them, remember what he said to them as they were quite frightened at what his response might be. And he said, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." Samson went down to Timnah to fulfill his own great desires, but God had a purpose. God kept that purpose quiet. But then there's the secrets of Samson. He went down to Timnah with his father and mother. And we find that the first thing that happens, and they're not present for it, it appears, is that there was a young lion who came toward him roaring. And we're told here in verse 6 that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. I'm not sure what that's like. I haven't known anyone that's torn a young goat to pieces, let alone a lion. But apparently the idea here is that it's a whole lot easier to take a goat apart than it is to take a lion roaring at you apart. And so we're told here that he tears this lion apart. He destroys it. And he destroys it by the power of the Spirit of God which has rushed upon him. Now he's silent about this event. And we're not told why he's silent about this event. If it was the Spirit of the Lord who rushed upon him and he was able in God's power to do this great feat against the lion, you would think he would want to proclaim it abroad and let everyone know what God had done. Unless he was taking pride in his own power and wanted no one to know. Perhaps it's because he didn't want to acknowledge the one from whom the power came. Oh, how opposite it was later in history when the little boy David would go to confront the Philistine giant. And he would tell them of the great feats that he had done and how it was that God had done this through him and God was going to bring about a victory against the Philistine giant. Here was Samson. He had done something great and he kept silent. But then he does something sinful and he keeps silent about that as well. He violated his Nazirite vow. He went and he saw that dead carcass of the lion that had been there, and he saw that there had developed a bee's nest, and there was honey dripping out. And he touched the dead carcass, and he took the honey, and he brought it to his parents, and they ate of it as well. But he never told them from whence the honey came. He was quiet. He was quiet about the Lord's power, and he was quiet about his own disobedience. And then, add insult to injury, he prepares a great feast at Timnah. The word that's used in verse 10 is a word that means not just to feast, but to drink. Here was one who was to be dedicated to the Lord and take no strong drink or wine, and yet he broke, it appears, his vow again. He threw a feast for 7 days. And we're told here that there were 30 companions who came to feast as well and to enjoy this great time. And in his pride, he showed them that he was able to be a poet as well. Brought a little riddle to them. And he was certain in himself that they would never figure out the riddle. I'm sure, or he would not have even spoken it. So he promised them that they would get 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes if they would just tell the riddle. If they would be able to solve it. Out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. It was a riddle based upon his own disobedience. Taking the honey out of the carcass of the dead lion. And so we find here that he gives this riddle and they're stumped. They have no idea. They couldn't solve it after 3 days, so they went to Samson's wife, and they told her that if she didn't prevail upon him to give the meaning of the riddle, that they would burn her and her father's house with fire. They threatened her very life. They put her in a bad spot. So he threw the feast, and in the midst of the riddle, they were unable to solve. She went to him and she pressed him. She turned on the waterworks. She cried and she cried and she cried and she cried. She asked for the meaning of the riddle. He said, I haven't told my mother or my father. Why would I tell you? But she prevailed so long that he finally gave in. Another shadow of what is to come. But here he gave in, and they were told the riddle. And in metaphoric language, he said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. I suspect from that statement and from what happens after that he's more than a little upset with his wife. They found out, they threatened her life, and they came to the meaning of Samson's secrets. The Lord had a secret, and Samson kept lots of secrets. Samson's was in failure, but God took that failure as his great opportunity. And in the last part of this chapter, if we wouldn't see there that the Spirit of the Lord again rushed upon him, we would think that Samson is simply, with anger, seeking revenge. But this is the second time that we see Samson, and we see the Spirit of the Lord rushing upon him. It was in the deliverance of the lion, and now it is in the victory that he would bring over the Philistines. Despite his anger and his pride, the Lord was upon him. And Samson carries out an attack on those of Ashkelon. He delivers the spoils enough to clothe the men who figured out the riddle. It seems like a despicable event. And it might be if it was simply viewed from Samson's point of view. But if we view it from the perspective of what God was doing, it was a beginning. It was a foretaste. A small beginning nonetheless, but a beginning of what God was going to do in delivering the Israelites from the hand of the Philistines. God's ways are often mysterious to us. But one thing is true. The hymn writer says it so well, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Oh, how important that is to see. In the face of trials and the tragedies of life, there's much we may never know. Look for the evidence of the Lord's providence in the face of such things, and you will begin to see that he has a purpose that is far greater, and far grander, and far bigger than we could ever imagine. From time to time, we get a glimpse, but it's a glimpse of a God who is constantly at work to fulfill his purposes. The secrets that Samson held back were really because he was trying to hide his own sin. But the secret things of the Lord are not for the same reason. He works out his sovereign will, and he proves himself faithful and true. Friends, we serve a God who can be trusted every hour of every moment of every day. He's proven himself faithful in giving his son, and he's faithful in the day-to-day events as well. Though his providence is often a mystery to us, And there are times that we wonder what he's doing. There are times that we get glimpses. Learn to appreciate the glimpses. Learn to appreciate the work that God in his sovereign grace is doing. Even when the situation and the circumstances seem extreme, God is not absent. We may not be able to have high expectations of man without having those expectations dashed to the ground. But we can have high expectations of God. He does fulfill his purposes. So don't be discouraged by the small ways in which you see him working. See them as a sure and certain sign that he is at work, that he is unfolding his great salvation, just as he has shown his purposes and his faithfulness in giving his beloved Son, so one day all of those purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. We're reminded with the hymn that we're going to sing, the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we are reminded today of your great and rich providence to us in Christ. You know each of us, oh Lord, you know each of our frames, you know our distress. You know the things, O Lord, that trouble us and the trials that beset us. Remind us, O Lord, this day that you are a God who is faithful and whose promises are yea and amen in Christ our Savior. Keep our eyes on him, we pray. For it's in his name we ask. Amen.